Let's resume our discussion of the implications of the recent Oregon Supreme Court ruling affecting PERS, the public employee retirement system. The state legislature tried to narrow a gap between financial obligations to PERS members and the money available for those obligations. 2 years ago, legislators voted to walk back some benefits. The people receiving those benefits begged to differ and did so in court. In Morrow versus Oregon, the state Supreme Court said the legislature went too far and could not reduce cost of living allowances promised under contract. Retirees are relieved, but state and local governments are not, because it means they're back on the hook for potentially millions of dollars in benefits. We heard from the Oregon School Employees Association in our first segment. Now we turn to Betsy Miller-Jones, who's the executive director of the Oregon School Boards Association. Betsy, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
At the time the legislation passed, there must have been some concern that it would be taken to court.
Yes, of course. There was always that possibility, and I think everyone who was involved in it was aware of it. The option of doing nothing, though, was felt to be such a poor one, given the cost increases that were coming along, that it was worth this work. And the groups that supported it, along with the governor and people at the state level, had opinions which said that there was a good chance of this decision standing. So that was the reason for going forward with it.
So it was something of a gamble. There was a, you know,
I think in anything of this sort, where there's a difference of opinion and there's a legal opinion involved, there's always a chance that it can go one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about causes, because there seems to be some disagreement just on the basic gap between what needs to eventually be paid to retirees and what is available to pay them in the future, in the present and in the future. Is the gap caused by decisions within the PERS board? Is it caused by the economy turning down a few years ago and a lot of earnings being lost out of the system? Is it a combination of those things? Is there something else I'm not bringing in here?
It certainly is a combination of those things, but overall, the way to frame it is that it's the structure of the system and the way it was built and the way the formulas were set to be paid out, and then what's happened since with the economy, the numbers, and all of that has resulted in this. In Oregon, we fund the system well, but we do it by each year, you know, doing the each biennium, doing the calculations, and having the districts pay into it. So that burden, the amount that they're paying, well, and I'm looking at it from school districts, it's all government entities, but the amount that they pay in rising at a rate that is burdensome.
All right, so this is an interesting thing to talk about, the actual structure of things. It's the PERS system essentially says to all the levels of government that participate, and it's pretty much from the state on down, I believe, that mm-hmm. this is what we're looking at. This is what you need to pay this year. So each district gets a notice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So for instance, May 29th this year, we're going to have a better idea from the actuaries on what the numbers are going to look like going forward, taking into account this decision. The impact won't be felt until the 2017-19 biennium. The rates for the current biennium, 15-17, have been set already, and that we're going to live with. So the increase, the payback, and the increased amounts won't be felt till 17-19. But it's an actuarial system, so a lot of math involved on the calculations, and there will be better data on May 29th that will take into account economic factors as well as this decision.
And is there a total number that everybody seems to agree on about the unfunded portion of the obligation?
I am not a data person on this, so I'm gonna pass on that question. I've heard various numbers. I'm not sure.
All right, but it looks,
and unfunded is not Oregon's problem,
mm-hmm.
as it is in so many other states, because Oregon essentially charges the entities to pay for it each year. So it's the fact that the rate that you have to pay in, it keeps going up, is the problem.
All right, so not unfunded.
Keep it funded, yes.
Yeah,
keep it funded. And I know we're not 100% funded. I wouldn't want to mislead anybody. But that actually is not Oregon's problem. Well, you hear other states that have this huge unfunded liability. So, our unfunded liability is not that big.
All right, so Betsy, since you mentioned that the rates were already set for this biennium, and Oregon budgets in a two-year biennial cycle. So 2015, 2017 is the budget period about to begin, July 1st.
Mm-hmm. You said
the rates are already set for that. So does this mean that since the rates were set based on the legislature's work surviving the court challenge,
right,
which it did not, that the 17-19 biennium rates are going to be that much higher?
They are most probably going to be higher. And remember, there's a lot of decisions to be made before then. The PERS board has some options. They can smooth out this rate increase, which does send the costs farther out in the future. In other words, not make it up all at once so we jolt it so hard. There already is what's called a collar in place, and this would be putting another one on it. But the PERS board does have options to smooth this out.
Who is on the PERS board? I'm sure that's a question a lot of people are going to ask. Who makes these decisions?
It is a group of people, and I'm not that familiar with exactly who they are.
All right, Betsy Miller-Jones is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the other side of the PERS decision from the perspective of people who are running local governments, including school districts. She's with the Oregon School Boards Association as executive director. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Betsy, give us an idea of trend lines here, given the zone that you're most familiar with, the school districts. I mean, do you have reliable figures on what percentage of school district spending went to PERS obligations, say, 10 years ago versus where it is now and where it's likely to go?
Well, we know it's increasing, and because school districts have a variety of ways to fund this and can have what are called side accounts, which are investment accounts which help to keep the rate down, the actual rate varies greatly between districts. But we expect this will have districts paying in the upper 20% of salaries of their employees just for PERS, and that'll be an increase of 10 to 15% over what they were paying 10 years ago. It's been rapidly climbing. But you can find different numbers across the state because of different ways that districts have handled this.
So when you say upper 20%, are we talking potentially paying, 25,
close
26?
To 30. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of total
it
budget?
Go up to that. Yeah, we can see that going up to that of their total salary budget, which is about 80-85% of most school districts'
okay,
budget.
The total salary budget, mm-hmm, not the whole
yeah.
budget. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that
yeah.
makes a
it's
certain
still,
amount.
Salaries are a huge part of school districts' budgets. But yes, we expect to see it go up in the vicinity of the 30% area, and that's really a point of pain. At any point, we can call a point of pain, but that's becoming quite a choking point and what we were trying to avoid. For 17-19, we're looking at a $385 million impact total on the K-12 budget across the state. It's a $5 billion savings loss to the entire system over time, and schools are about 40% of any system-wide number.
You said $385 million?
Mm-hmm.
In
yep.
addition to what was already expected to be?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That will be the impact of this decision, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a couple of contacts here. Kathy Notown, given emails, wants to know what is the average PERS retirement package? Good question.
There's data available from PERS. I've seen, I'm not an expert on it. I really hesitate to go there, but I think the average person receiving a PERS retirement, the numbers are not astronomically large. I've seen $25,000 a year as a kind of an average retirement package. I think it varies greatly, though, and I'm not an expert on that, so I would want to make that clear.
All right, $25,000.
The problem is that we have people who receive some very high retirements in PERS, and those make the headlines.
Right. We already had somebody bring up the reference to the football coach.
Yes.
I'm sure that's the reference mm-hmm. to Mike Bellotti.
Right, Bellotti. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always comes up. So there are certainly some extreme situations, but there's a huge number of people who are receiving what I think would be considered for a long career would be considered a very reasonable retirement package.
All right, and the example given from the OSEA was that Everest Morrow, who was the plaintiff
mm-hmm.
in the lawsuit.
Quite a low number. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brings in about 20,000.
20,000, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was, and of course, the individuals that were picked to challenge this were picked so that, they did represent more average situations. I mean, that was a conscious decision on those who brought the lawsuits.
All right. You can join our Jefferson Exchange discussion with Betsy Miller-Jones at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Pam in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I hope everyone is really getting a solid education this morning and receiving the information as to why activist judges are a danger to our society because of the legislators made a decision that represented the people, and one black-robed gangbanger judge can overturn everything. I and then to hear the comments made by your guest, there's like a sense of entitlement and arrogance that I find offensive. That's why I'm voting no on 1776 property tax increase in Grants Pass, Josephine County, and I hope everybody understands why.
Pam, help me understand two things here. Number one, black-robed gangbanger judge. The term is new on me. What do you mean by that?
Running roughshod over the votes of the people. Mm-hmm. The legislators made a decision about the PERS, and one judge rolled back that decision.
Well, it ended up being seven judges. It's the whole Oregon Supreme Court.
Okay, well, seven. And so that means they enslaved us to the union's demands. And this is what that's why I said, the only way you can starve the pig is not feed it.
All right,
and
so that's why you
think everybody should do. No new taxes. We pay enough.
All right, so that's why you're going to vote no on the levy in Josephine County. All right, thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Betsy, I don't suppose as much you want to add to that.
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
All right. John and Eugene emails, here's a PERS funding source I suggest be explored. After years of sending out-of-state retirees a 10% check, I guess 9.8% actually, to cover Oregon state taxes they don't pay, the legislature has fixed that problem. We have, though, been sending this money unnecessarily for about two decades, with the average retiree getting about $35,000 a year and about 18,000 out-of-state retirees. That is roughly $63 million a year, when he shows his math, having been sent out for about 20 years. That makes roughly $1.2 billion. If the state accidentally sent excessive tax refunds out, they would legitimately ask for the money back. How's about asking for the overpayments back? That's from John and Eugene. Any thoughts? I mean, what kinds of ideas are being tossed up these days for ways to fix the shortfall, Betsy?
Well, our attorneys are still reviewing the decision. The PERS board will obviously be looking at what they administratively can do. Those who supported this legislation previously will be looking at what other changes might be successful both legislatively and legally going forward. It's a conversation that's just begun. I believe the idea of going back and clawing back payments that were made to retirees is a very difficult one, the one suggested, particularly given that the way the decision came down this time is it's talking about changing it going forward. As soon as you look backwards, that's a very different situation. But again, we'll be looking at all the options. Right now, however, I think it's very important to say that there is no political appetite for addressing any PERS changes. Right now, all the work is focused on what we can do administratively to smooth this going forward, going into 1719, and trying to get accurate data. There are some complexities in the decision that make it difficult for the PERS board to calculate the benefits, to calculate going forward. There may need to be some legislation just to clarify the decision and clarify how those calculations are going to be made going forward. So that work is happening as well. But it's important to note that politically in the legislature, there's just no political will right now to touch this. It will probably be the 1719 time period when we see actual dollar impacts again before people will feel like they are ready to address it.
Yeah, I've heard that word appetite used a lot this time around.
That
there just is no particular taste for trying to take this up, particularly this late in the session.
Yes, and it was a huge effort on the part of legislators, lobbyists, all the various groups that were participating in this to get this legislation through in 13. I mean, it took an immense amount of effort, and I think people just are still working to digest this decision and need more information and data.
Here's another phone call from Sandy in Merlin. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Betsy Miller-Jones from the Oregon School Boards Association.
Hello. I'd like to make two comments. One of them, you know, the taxpayers who are paying for all of this PERS stuff and retirements are don't even have a retirement themselves. And to expect, you know, to make comments, your previous caller said we need adequate retirement for all employees. Well, the public that's funding all this doesn't have any, most of them don't even have any retirement. And they also said that the education system is vastly underfunded. I'm looking at my property taxes right now, and it says, the county says that 56% of all the our property taxes go to the education system locally here. Only 82% goes to all of Josephine County. And so the vast majority of our property taxes go to the education system, and it's unconscionable to think that we should give them more. I also, just like Pam, am going to vote no on this Measure 1766 for public safety because, you know what, we are tapped out. The local property owner is just tapped out.
All right. Thanks for that, Sandy. Appreciate it. It seems to become we're turning this into a conversation about the Josephine County levy on the ballot for tomorrow. But to come back to the point, one of the points that was made by the folks from OSEA, the Employees Association, is that that corporations were the ones who lobbied heavily for making changes to PERS in the 2013 session so they wouldn't have to pay any more taxes themselves. Anything to that, Betsy Miller-Jones?
They certainly participated in it, but there were a wide variety of groups who worked on this. Stand for Children, the Oregon School Boards Association representing school districts across the state, those representing counties and cities and all sorts of public employees, and the state was very involved in this work. So I would say it was broader based than that.
All right, we do plan to talk to Peter Buckley, state representative and House chair for the Joint Ways and Means Committee, about what the legislature does moving forward about the money shortfall that is exacerbated by this court decision, Morrow versus Oregon. I want to thank Betsy Miller-Jones, the executive director of the Oregon School Boards Association, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.